.org to download the files. We ask that if you do need to eat during the meeting, please eat quietly in the back of the room. For those in person, please take a moment to silence or turn off your cell phones and do not connect to the room's Wi-Fi. To open the meeting, let us have a moment of quiet meditation, and for those who wish to join us in saying the Serenity Prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Thy will, not mine, be done. I assume that I'm not the only one this evening, or that I'm not alone this evening. But for the record, are there any other compulsive eaters at this meeting other than myself?
Hi. Hello.
The We Care folder will be circulating in the room for the duration of the meeting. The first time for you to list your name, telephone number, and email, and the rest for you to take names and phone numbers to call during the week. If you are joining us remotely, please use the meeting's chat function as a virtual We Care book and enter your first name, phone number, times available for phone calls, and whether or not you are currently a sponsor in the How format. We will then add you to the We Care book that is being circulated in the room. A copy of this list can be sent to you via email after the meeting. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who through shared experience, strength, and mutual support are recovering from compulsive eating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and to carry this message of recovery to those who still suffer. Would someone please read What Is How?
Hi, I'm Heidi, a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Heidi, welcome.
Thank you. What Is How? How is a movement within Overeaters Anonymous whose basic principle is that abstinence is the only means to freedom from compulsive eating and the beginning of a spiritual life. Where and why did How begin? How began in Phoenix in 1981 as a means of reviving a group called OA Victorious. Its meeting format is taken from Roseanne's book, I Put My Hand in Yours, and centers around the concept of service. Many of the questions used in How sponsoring stemmed from OA Plus and Westminster groups. The outline of service came from the OA Suffolk County, New York Sponsors Guide. Thank you.
Thanks, Heidi. Would someone please read the only requirement?
Hi, I'm Kelly. I'm a compulsive overeater from Pennsylvania.
Hi, Kelly. Welcome.
Hi, everybody. The only requirement, Overeaters Anonymous respects the autonomy of each OA group. We do suggest, however, that any group that has requirements in addition to the suggested 12 steps and 12 traditions inform its members that these requirements are what that particular group has found effective in working the program and does not represent OA as a whole. The members of this group have found the How concept to be effective in working the OA program. The opinions expressed here this afternoon by those who share, I think I'm in the wrong reading, oh boy. It's not afternoon, sorry. Are their own and not necessarily those of OA. The Board of Trustees states, we understand the third tradition to mean the individual ways of working one's program should not exclude any compulsive overeater from attendance and participation at OA meetings anytime, anywhere. The only requirement for membership is the desire to stop eating compulsively. Anyone who says he, she is a member is a member. We of Overeaters Anonymous welcome all members with open arms. Pass. Thank you.
Thanks, Kelly. Would someone please read the How concept?
Am I on the camera?
Go ahead. Yep, we can see you and we can hear you.
I can't see myself. So, okay. Hi, I'm Lauren in Vancouver, Canada, and I'm a compulsive overeater. And this is the HOW concept. The Overeaters Anonymous HOW meetings have been formed to offer the compulsive overeater who accepts 12 steps and 12 traditions as a program of recovery, a disciplined and structured approach. HOW groups are formed in the belief that our disease is absolute and that only absolute acceptance of the OA program will offer any sustained abstinence to those of us whose compulsion has reached a critical level. Therefore, we accept the 9 tools of program and the 12 steps and 12 traditions as necessary for our recovery. In OA HOW, our daily action plan is outlined in the structured use of each of these tools. Our meetings are dedicated to the concept of remaining honest, open-minded, and willing to listen. This is the how of the program. We pray that the collective group conscience and love of these ideals offer us will promote a strong sense of security that will enable us to experience a new unity and wholeness with all of this around us. And that the how ideals will help us to progress in a program of recovery on a daily basis. To be certain, much of our strength is found in the structure of meetings and in the daily adherence to the program as it is written in our literature. The Tuesday evening meeting also firmly understands that after our recovery has begun through abstinence and the taking of the first 3 steps, our further surrender to the additional steps of recovery offers us a promise of happiness, contentment, and achievement in all areas of our lives. Wow. We ensure our continued and sustained abstinence from compulsive overeating and being forever aware that God is doing for us what we have never been able to do for ourselves. May God, as each of us understands Him, open our minds and our hearts to the love which is manifested on this meeting. Amen.
Thank you, Lauren.
Thanks, Lauren.
Would someone please read Reflections for the newcomer?
Hi, my name is Carrie. I'm a compulsive overeater. Reflections for the newcomer.
Hi, Carrie. Welcome.
Welcome to OA HOW. We are all so glad that you have decided to become a part of our fellowship. You know that the HOW concept is a discipline program. We believe that the discipline of weighing and measuring, of telephoning your sponsor at a particular time, of attending meetings and making phone calls, all lead to a life based on a universal discipline, which is accord rather than discord, even with many things going on around us. Therefore, if there is a breakdown in any of these areas, the concept is threatened, as is the individual's abstinence. We have found that the discipline must remain as constant for the beginner as for the sponsor. If the newcomer shies away from this life's responsibility, the sponsor may give the newcomer's time slot to someone more committed to recovery. This is not a personal affront, but a matter of necessity. So many of us who think they should recover, in fact, are not ready. If the newcomer should show lack of commitment, the sponsor may offer the newcomer assistance in finding a new sponsor. The rationale here is that if the newcomer insists on picking up the food before the phone, then there is a breakdown in the level of communication between the sponsor and the newcomer. Frothy emotional appeal seldom suffices. If the sponsor slips, get a new one. The pitfalls of self-deception cannot be overstressed if you are to recover. Therefore, a sponsor, in all self-honesty, must release all sponsees to continue his or her own recovery. A sponsor cannot give what he does not experience. Finally, you must believe that we need each other. All problems that arise can be worked out via the phone or person-to-person contact. Only positive, upbeat recovery belongs in our meetings. A body badly burned by food does not recover overnight, nor does twisted thinking and depression vanish in a twinkling. We are convinced that the spiritual mode of living is a most powerful health restorative. Good luck. Everyone in the fellowship is praying that you find the release from obsession so many of us have. God bless. And no matter what, keep coming back. We'll always be here for you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Would someone please read an excerpt from step 2 of the OA 12 and 12?
This is Lisa.
And hi, Lisa. Hi, Lisa. Welcome.
I cannot see that you can see me. Okay, here we go. Wait a minute. I have the reading and here it is. Okay. Excerpt from step 2 of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous, pages 9 to 11. When we look with complete honesty at our lives, we see that where eating is concerned, we have acted in an extremely irrational and self-destructive manner. Under the compulsion to overeat, many of us have done things no sane person would think of doing. We have driven miles in the dead of night to satisfy a craving for food. We have eaten food that was frozen, burnt, stale, or even dangerously spoiled. We have eaten food off of other people's plates, off the floor, off the ground. We have dug food out of the garbage and eaten it. We have frequently lied about what we have eaten, lied to others because we didn't want to face the truth ourselves. We have stolen food from our family, friends, and employers, as well as from the grocery store. We have also stolen money to buy food. We have eaten beyond the point of being full, beyond the point of being sick of eating. We have continued to overeat, knowing all the while we were disfiguring and maiming our bodies. We have isolated ourselves to eat, damaging our relationships and denying ourselves a full social life. For the sake of our compulsive eating, we have turned ourselves into objects of ridicule and we have destroyed our health. Then, horrified by what we were doing to ourselves with food, we became obsessed with diets. We spent hundreds of dollars on weight loss schemes. We bought all sorts of appetite control drugs. We joined diet clubs and spas. We had ourselves hypnotized and analyzed. We had major surgery on our digestive systems. We had our ears stapled or our jaws wired shut. All of this we did willingly, hoping we could someday have our cake and eat it too. Some of us went from doctor to doctor looking for a cure. The doctors gave us diets, but we had no better success with those than the other diets we've been on. The doctors gave us shots and pills. Those worked for a while, but we inevitably lost control and overate again, putting back on the weight we had worked so hard to lose. Many of us tried fasting with and without a doctor's supervision. Usually we lost weight, but as soon as we started eating again, the compulsive eating behavior returned along with the weight. Some of us learned to purge ourselves with vomiting, laxatives, or excessive exercise. We'd stuff food in our mouths until we were in physical pain, and then we'd get rid of it. We damaged our digestive systems and our teeth while we starved our bodies of nutrients needed to live. Those of us who were overweight got plenty of advice from others about how to get to our, quote, ideal size, but nothing permanently solved our problem. We found that no matter what we did to ease our turmoil, our compulsive eating eventually returned. Over the long haul, our weight went up and our self-esteem went down. After a while, we became battle-weary and discouraged. Still, we could never accept our powerlessness. The prospect of being obese, sick, and out of control for the rest of our lives led some of us to conclude that life was simply not worth living. Many of us thought of suicide. Some of us tried it. Most of us, however, never reached suicidal desperation. Instead, we took comfort in a feeling that everything was all right as long as we got enough to eat. The only trouble was that as our compulsive eating progressed, it became harder for us to get enough. Instead of bringing comfort, the overeating backfired. The more we ate, the more we suffered, yet we continued to overeat. Our true insanity could be seen in the fact that we kept right on trying to find comfort in excess food long after it began to cause us misery. Lisa J. in Portland. Thank you.
Thank you, Lisa.
Thanks, Lisa.
Would someone please read from chapter 5 of the book Alcoholics Anonymous, How It Works?
Hi, this is Michelle, compulsive overeater. And, whoa, this is hard. All right. Chapter 5, How It Works. Rarely have we seen a person fail who has thoroughly followed our paths. Oh, this is terrible. those who do not recover are people who cannot or will not completely give themselves to this simple program. usually men and women who are constitutionally incapable of being honest with themselves. There are such unfortunates. They are not at fault. They seem to have been born that way. They are naturally incapable of grasping and developing a manner of living which demands rigorous honesty. Their chances are less than average. There are those, too, who suffer from grave emotional and mental disorders. Many of them do recover if they have the capacity to be honest. Our stories disclose in a general way what we used to be like, what happened, and what we are like now. If you have decided you want what we have and are willing to go to any length to get it, then you are ready to take certain steps. As some of these involved, we thought we could find an easier, softer way, but we could not. Without at our command, we beg of you to be fearless from the very start. Some of us tried to hold on to old ideas, and the result nil until we let go absolutely. Remember that we deal with alcohol, cunning, baffling, powerful. Without help, it is too much for us. But there is one who has all the power, and that one is God. May you find him now. Half measures avail us nothing. We stood at a turning point. We asked his protection and care with complete abandon. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Michelle. Would someone please read the 12 steps of recovery?
Yes. Hi, this is Caroline. Can you hear me?
Yes. Hi, Caroline.
Good evening, everyone. I'm Caroline, compulsive eater and bulimic. Very pleased to be on the meeting tonight. The 12 steps. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being, the exact nature of our wrongs. Five, admitted to God, that's what I already said. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Many of us exclaimed, "What an order! I can't go through with it." Do not be discouraged. No one among us has been able to maintain anything like perfect adherence to these principles. We are not saints. The point is, we're willing to grow along spiritual lines. The principles we have set down are guides to progress. We claim spiritual progress rather than spiritual perfection. And I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Caroline. The Tools of Recovery. The 12 Steps of Overeaters Anonymous are a program of recovery. Webster's Dictionary defines tool as any person or thing used to get something done. We have many tools of the program which help us to recover on a daily basis. Tools are essential to get the job done, and they work for us. In order for a tool to work, it must be used. Mm-hmm. So too, with our tools of recovery, we will ask that how sponsors explain how they use a particular tool with a limit of 3 minutes for each tool. Would someone be willing to be the timekeeper? All right. Carolyn. Sure. Did I skip one? Will someone please read the 12 traditions?
Hi, everyone. This is Liz A., grateful compulsive overeater and food addict in Ormond Beach, Florida. I thought I had spaced on the 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. Less problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Nine, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you, Liz. All right. We will continue on with tools of recovery. We have a timekeeper, and virtual participants receive timing prompts via the chat. Abstinence plan of eating.
Liz again.
Hi, Liz.
Still in Florida, still a compulsive overeater. Okay. Abstinence, the plan of eating. A food plan is a commitment to recovery. The how disciplines were designed for food addictive people. We believe in a disciplined and structured approach. How abstainers do not modify their food plan to suit themselves and commit themselves to black and white abstinence. Deviations invite the return of many other problems. A food plan is not a personal thing in how. This means that we depend upon each other for the strength and growth that we need to remain abstinent. We join together in an effort to free the compulsive overeater from the bondage of food through the use of a food plan, positive thinking, and the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Alcoholics Anonymous. We eat weighed and measured meals with nothing in between except sugar-free beverages and sugar-free gum. Food is written down, called into our sponsor, and committed so that we can get on with our recovery and get out of the food. We also believe that negative thinking is a large part of our disease, so we abstain from negative thinking. Those of us who work the HOW program concepts use the following guidelines for food plans. One, we do not write our own food plan. We use a food plan given to us by a doctor, nutritionist, or dietitian. We discuss it with our sponsor. We do not pick one that allows any of our personal binge foods. If some plan some food on our plan becomes a problem, we avoid it. Two, unless approved by a sponsor, we do not skip meals, switch meals, or combine meals. We do not deviate or manipulate our food plan in any way. If we need to change our committed food during the day, we call a sponsor. Three, we weigh and measure all our portions so that there is no guesswork. We do not measure by eye. We use a measuring cup, a spoon, and a scale. And I will now verbally describe what I do with my abstinence kit. So I have a cooler that I keep in my car, and I keep backup food in it. So I have some protein, like tuna, rice, some fruit, and for my vegetables, I've got some V8 juice. And I actually end up using that quite a bit because it seems the restaurants never seem to give you enough vegetables since we need 12 ounces for lunch and dinner. And then for my fat, I have a little packet of almond butter. So the backup food is going to need to be weighed and measured just like it is at home. So I keep a portable scale, and this one fits very nicely under a plate. And you just open it up, and I also have backup batteries, and I keep that in my kit. And if the scale doesn't work, I have a spring-loaded scale. And if you still use a spring-loaded scale at home, what you would do is make sure that the scale is at zero, and then put your items on it, and when it gets to the amount that you need, 3.0, you would add the next item. So I also keep some utensils and a measuring cup and a level. So the level is so that we can get the exact amount, and whatever comes down the sides is not mine. Whatever is inside the cup is mine. So that's what's in my abstinence kit, along with my phone, and also a phone list in case my phone isn't working and I need to be able to call a sponsor for a food change. So what else do I have in my kit? Let's see. Oh, okay. So I also keep the same scale in my kitchen, and I have batteries that I keep on hand in my kitchen. And the digital scale is the primary tool in my abstinence kit. Let's see. So I use the scale at home. I use it when I'm at a restaurant. If I'm stuck in the car, I weigh all of my food on the digital scale. What else? Some people mentioned stuffers and fluffers. Whichever one you are, what that means is that you just pack it into the measuring cup, and that's the amount that you get, and you stick with that method. So if you like a certain type of food, you don't pack it in. And then if you dislike another type of food, you don't just pack it in loosely. You decide on whether you're a stuffer or a fluffer, and you stay that way. I tend to think that that's kind of manipulating my food, so I weigh everything on the digital scale. And for liquids, when I'm pouring them, I don't pour them over my food. Like olive oil, I'll measure it out into a spoon, and then I will pour it onto my salad after it's measured. That way, in case it spills, I don't have to start all over again. And that's pretty much it for my abstinence kit. Backup food, scale, meal plan. Oh, and the meal plan, I forgot that. I also bring my meal plan so I don't have to rely on my memory if I need to call in any changes. Okay, so from there I will continue. And let's see. Number four, we weigh ourselves once a month until we reach goal weight. and once a week on maintenance. 5, unless otherwise advised by your doctor, we take a multivitamin and drink 64 ounces of water a day. 6, we do not drink alcohol. 7, we do not use food containing sugar, except if sugar is listed 5th or beyond on the ingredients label. Above all, we do not vacillate or water down the disciplined nature of the HOW program. It is not the extra string bean that counts. It is the decision to take it. And I believe that's it for the reading. So I will continue with my pitch on my abstinence and food plan. So basically the abstinence kit for me is just a means to an end. It's a tool that I use to help me put down the food so I can work the other steps. For me, an unstructured food plan just meant chaos. I couldn't decide what to eat, when to eat it, where to eat it, how much to eat. So the purpose of the boundaries in 2-hour HOW is to surrender. It's not to control the food. So these boundaries now give me a lot of freedom. My abstinence kit is just a collection of tools that I use to put boundaries around my food. I was gonna read something from page 30 of the big book. We learned that we had to fully concede to our innermost selves that we were alcoholics. This is the first step in recovery. The decision that we are like other people, or presently maybe, has to be smashed. So I've just learned I cannot handle food on my own. I've lost the power of choice when it comes to food. I think I might have missed a tiny message there. Basically my food plan just gives me the clarity to, I write the food the night before. It's the first thing that I commit to my sponsor, and I physically check that I have everything on hand that I've committed so that I make sure it's not spoiled, so I don't have to call my sponsor to make a food change. The difference between a mistake and a slip is if I have to call my sponsor and I decide not to. So the less changes I have to make, the better. My food plan was formulated for me based on my age, height, weight, activity level, and 1 minute, thank you. So my food plan has 3 parts. It's a basic planning guide with exchange lists by food groups and like a starch, protein, vegetables. It also consists of a customized meal plan, which is like my daily prescription with a set number of meals and the amount of each food group. The last part is my daily committed menu. And once I commit that, I can stop thinking about food. It's just very black and white. I know that I'm abstinent. There's no more, should I eat this? Why did I eat that? It all stops. My mind is freed so that I can work on recovery with my sponsor, like it says in the reading. The foods that I have are just very nourishing and simple. I repeat them a lot, which is fine. And the food plan and abstinence allows me to get on with my life. And that's it. Thank you. I'll pass.
Thank you, Liz.
Thanks, Liz.
Sponsorship.
Hi, I'm Caroline, compulsive eater and bulimic.
Hi, Caroline. Welcome.
Thank you. Sharing on sponsorship. Sponsors are OA members who are committed to abstinence and to living the 12 steps and 12 traditions to the best of their ability. We ask a sponsor to guide us through a program of recovery on all 3 levels, physical, emotional, and spiritual. In working with other members of OA and sharing their experience, strength, and hope, sponsors continually renew and reaffirm their own sobriety. Sponsors share their program up to the level of their own experience. Ours is a program of attraction. Find a sponsor who has what you want and ask how it was achieved. A member may work with more than one sponsor and may change sponsors at will. A house sponsor is a compulsive overeater who has completed at least 70 days of back-to-back abstinence and who has taken the first three steps of the program. Sponsors have also completed at least 70 days of assignments. Reflections to the sponsor, suggestions for discussions. Discussion. No list of reflections and meditations are end-alls and be-alls for the newcomer. A sponsor must be attentive not only to what the new person is saying, but also to what the newcomer is not saying. There are many newcomers who are reticent to purchase books and who are hesitant to throw themselves headlong into the program. Therefore, we have a list of pre-commitment assignments. Above all, do not vacillate or water down the disciplined nature of the HOW program. It is not the extra string bean that is the problem. It is the decision to have it that results in some trouble. The HOW concept is an alternative for people who have tried everything else. Therefore, the program is an immutable triumvirate of tools, steps, and traditions. Using the tools of weighing and measuring our food, sponsors, meetings, phone calls, reading and writing, service, and anonymity, we follow the 12 steps and 12 traditions of OA in order to free ourselves from the bondage of food addiction. Sponsors do not have the right to play God. We help each other. When I first came into the room, completely broken and defeated by the food, really the last thing I wanted was to have to talk to anyone else. I just wanted someone to give me the magic formula that that some people seem to have and that I could not find on my own. So I thought if they gave me the magic formula, I'd just kind of crawl back in my hole and do it on my own. So when I first came into the room, I was really so broken. And someone said to me, well, I'm a sponsor, and if you want to call me tomorrow, I can take your food and we can get started. So at that point, you know, if they had said, stand in the corner on your head and, you know, sing the Star Spangled Banner, I would have done it. I mean, I was desperate for any solution. And so then the person said, okay, call me tomorrow morning at 5:15 a.m. And I am so not a morning person, but I did it. I literally fell out of my bed onto the floor and just got myself up, made the call, the person gave me their food plan to get started with while I went to get a food plan from a nutritionist. And it was wonderful. It was absolutely wonderful. I couldn't really believe, in fact, right at the very first, I couldn't believe this person was willing to take my call every day to hear my food. I just thought, why would someone do that? I mean, that's just seemed really, really odd to me. But they insisted, and not only that, then they wanted me to call them with food changes during the day. And I just thought, well, why would I bother somebody with something so small? I don't want to bother you with that. That just seems so small. But the person insisted, and if I didn't do it right, they said, well, that's a slip. You have to go back to the first question. And I just could not understand it. And I really thought, to some extent, well, if I'm charming enough and friendly enough, then maybe they'll just like me and let me, you know, have a pass on these little things like food changes and, you know, whether I commit every bite I eat and that kind of thing. But they weren't. No matter how much I tried to manipulate that person, they stuck with the program. That was the idea, was to stick with the program, not to go with the, oh, well, she's nice, so I'll let her have something for today. That kind of indulgence and the self-indulgence that I engaged in has turned out to be one of my character defects that I had to work on. And I have been an indulgent mother as well, and just letting my children off for things. And I began to realize that I was doing that to myself when I was eating food. I would say like, oh, I've had such a hard day. I really need to have this, you know, dot, 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 you know, and there I'd go, you know, start eating. So the fact that the sponsor just held fast to the program in a kind way, and not in a mean way, not in like you're doing it bad or you're doing it
that's
wrong.
Time.
Just listening was transformational to me in my program. And so I'm very, very grateful for sponsorship. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Caroline. Will all sponsors, Howe and OA, please join me in the sharing the following: how long in OA and OA how, how long abstinent in OA or how much weight lost or gained. This is not a time for sharing. Please keep it brief and no applauding between sponsors. If they wish to, sponsors can announce that they have an opening for a sponsee and provide their phone numbers. Please form a line starting at the microphone and continue behind me. Remote sponsors are invited to share following our line by clicking the raise your hand button and turning your video camera, or just turning on your video when it's your turn to share. You will hear your name and see you are unmuted by host screen prompt. Following your share, please turn off your video as the meeting moderator remutes your line. Sponsors, join us on the phone, please. Wait for a pause in the line and press star and six on your phone, your telephone keypad.
I am Howard, a compulsive overeater. I'm a sponsor in the late shift. I've been abstaining a little over 33 years. I have 18 and a half years of abstinence OA how. I've gained 10 pounds and a little bit of sanity.
Hi, I'm Heidi, a compulsive overeater. I came directly into Howe in October of 2007. I lost 150 pounds and kept it off for almost 7 years, and I chose to leave the program. I gained 110 pounds back quite quickly, and I returned 2.5 years later, and I'm currently down 65 pounds.
Hi, I'm Sheila, a compulsive overeater. I came directly to Howe in May of 2015. My abstinence date's May 19th of 2015, and I have been relieved of over 90 pounds.
Hello everyone, I'm Nancy B, compulsive overeater. I came into the rooms of Howe in June of 2017. I became abstinent in September of 2017, the 27th, and have a recommitment date of March the 27th of 2019, and I have been relieved of 90 pounds.
Hello, my name is Kate H. I'm a compulsive overeater. I first joined the OA How program in August of 2016, and I was abstinent, back-to-back abstinence for 3 years, where within the first year I released 90 pounds. I had a slip on an apple, and my new abstinence date is October 1st of 2019, and I have maintained my weight since 2016's loss.
Megan? Hi, I'm Caroline, compulsive eater. Can I go ahead?
Yep, go ahead,
thanks. Caroline. Hi, I'm Caroline, compulsive eater and bulimic. I came into the rooms of OA Howe on April 30th of 2006. My recommitted abstinence dates from September 6th of 2016. By the grace of God and the power of this fellowship, I'm maintaining a 40-pound weight loss and free from binge purging for more than 10 years. Thank you, and with that, I'll pass.
Megan?
Hey, this is Megan in Virginia. I'm a compulsive overeater. I'm an OA House sponsor. Let's see, found the rooms of OA in 2006. Found OA House February of 2009. My back-to-back abstinence date is June 8th of 2015. I've given away about 85 to 90 pounds in program twice. I'm a relapse survivor, and I've had an abstinent pregnancy. I passed.
Revital.
Hi there. I'm a gratefully recovering compulsive overeater and food addict. My name is Revital. Very happy to be here tonight. I walked into the OA rooms in 2004, was introduced to the two-hour OA How program in May of 2017, where I became abstinent on May 23rd, 2017, and continue to remain abstinent by the grace of God and the power of this program. Really grateful to be here, and through working the steps in the program with trusted fellowship, my body has released over 100 pounds. And again, really grateful to be here tonight. Thanks.
Liz?
Hi, I'm Liz A., grateful compulsive overeater and food addict in Ormond Beach, Florida. And I am a sponsor in the two-hour How format. I joined OA in 1982. I began working How in 2018. My back-to-back abstinence date is 8/8/2019. I've released 58 pounds, 35 of those in two-hour How. Liz A., pass.
Deborah?
Good evening, everyone. I'm Deborah from Missouri, gratefully recovering in this program. My back-to-back abstinence date is August 23rd, 2015. I am down over 20 pounds for my top weight. This is Deborah from Kansas.
Sue?
Hi, everyone. My name is Sue L., and I'm a compulsive overeater. I came to OA How on December 8th of 2002. I got abstinent 2 days later in the 10th. And in that time, I've been relieved of 130 pounds.
Erlinda?
Hi, everyone. It's Erlinda, compulsive overeater from Chicago. I haven't. Today is 1 year in the program, and I'm very, very grateful to be here. I've been relieved of a total of 63 pounds. 43 of which is in OA. Thank you very much for having me.
Jane?
Hi, I'm Jane, compulsive overeater in Port Alberni, British Columbia. I came to Overeaters Anonymous in 2011, and I joined How September 19th of 2019. And since then, I've been abstinent. And I am a sponsor in OA How, and I have released 12 pounds since I started in How. Thanks.
Kelly?
Hi, this is Kelly in Southern California. I came to How in October of 2018. My back-to-back abstinence date is February 27th, 2019, and I'm maintaining an 80-pound weight loss in How. Thank you. Pass.
Clay Feet. Is there anyone else that would like to, that's a sponsor?
I already handed it in.
Hey, guess what? I don't feel one bit bad.
Okay. If there's other sponsors on the phone that would like to speak and share for the sponsorship piece, how long in OA?
Hi, this is,
go ahead.
Still working on sponsor lineup. Hi, this is Melanie. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Oregon and a two-hour OA House sponsor. I was first introduced to Overeaters Anonymous in 1989 and got abstinent in How in November 5th, 2005. I have an anniversary date in How of November 5th, 2018, and I'm maintaining over 165-pound weight loss. I'm Melanie from Oregon. Thanks. Pass.
All right. Clay feet. We should remember that all OAs have clay feet. We should not set any member upon a pedestal and mark him or her out as a perfect OA. It is not fair for the person to be singled out in this fashion, and if the person is wise, he or she will not wish it. If the person we singled out as an ideal OA has a fall, we are in danger of falling too. Without exception, we are all only one bite away from a binge. No matter how long we have been in OA or how, nobody is entirely safe. OA itself should be our ideal, not any particular member of it. Anonymity.
Hey all, this is Megan in Virginia. Anonymity. Anonymity is a tool as well as a tradition because it guarantees that we will place principles before personalities. It offers each of us freedom of expression and protection against gossip. Anonymity assures us that only we as individual OA members have the right to make our membership known within our community. Anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication means that we never allow our faces or last names to be used once we identify ourselves as OA members. Within the fellowship, anonymity means that we never share with another OA member, that whatever we share with another OA member will be held in respect and confidence. What we hear at meetings should remain there. It should be understood, however, that anonymity must not be used to limit our effectiveness within the fellowship. It is not a break of anonymity to give our names and addresses to the secretary of our group or to other service offices of OA for the purpose of conducting OA business, which is primarily 12-step work. Excuse me. It is likewise not a break of anonymity to enlist 12-step help for group members in trouble, provided we are careful to omit specific personal information. If their disease has reactivated and we persist in protecting their anonymity, we may, in effect, help kill them and their anonymity. Anonymity is a part of the program. Each of us to stand in front of our fellows and to share for the first time honestly who we are, where we have been, and where we hope to go, without fear that our story will be told outside these rooms. For many of us, the OA rooms are the first place where we have no fear of being judged or criticized. We are accepted as we are at that moment. Most of us that we experience sharing where we are not told what we did wrong. We come into OA at rock bottom, mangled emotionally, physically, and spiritually. We are supported back to health with honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness. We are encouraged to speak of our pain, and we are lovingly told your secrets are safe. Come share our recovery on a threefold level: physical, emotional, and spiritual. Lastly, a word to newcomers. Please join us. However, if you decide that our program is not for you, please remember that our anonymity allows us to grow and recover from a very serious whom you see here, what you hear here, when you leave here, let it stay here.
Here, here.
Here, here. So I had an interesting experience with anonymity. Oh, actually, I actually pulled up something. I remembered to get something from the literature. So before I go on, I found something from Dr. Bob and the Old Timers, and it's talking about Dr. Bob's view on anonymity. He said that you are not supposed to break your anonymity in the newspaper, on the radio, today. Maybe we would say social media. But he didn't think that we would get any place if people didn't know we belonged to AA. He had the firm conviction that you should let yourself be known as an AA member in the community. And he was always sure to tell you about it every time you met him. So we take anonymity really seriously in the OA How program. And I had an interesting experience over the weekend. For the first time in many years, I went to a face-to-face local meeting And I was really excited to go. It was a big book study, and I really have been feeling like I want a face-to-face community. So I, of course, was late because I got lost going there. And as I walk into the room, the first person I saw was somebody I know. Not from OA. I know this person from outside life. I know their family. I've known them for a long time. And I saw them and I thought, oh, don't freak out. I wasn't freaked out. I've been in OA a long time and I'm pretty open about it, but I didn't know how this person would feel. Come to find out, as we attended the meeting, as I listened in the meeting, it was also one of this person's first few meetings. They hadn't been around very long. And then I really started thinking, oh, don't freak out, you know? So as soon as the meeting was over, I made my way over to her and I gave her a hug and I said, you know, I just want you to know that I really respect and cherish anonymity and that, you know, nothing from this room will leave it. And you could just kind of see the relief. And I thought, you know, what a gift this is, that we can go into any room, a virtual room or a face-to-face room, and run into anybody from our life. And we leave what is said in the room, but we carry the message on forward with us into the rest of our lives. And we keep it in principles, that the principle is that recovery from this killing disease of compulsive overeating is possible. And we carry the message and we leave the personalities and the individual details for that person to share. It's not my story, it's their story. And it's a real blessing. And I think it gives us such a feeling of safety and of freedom to be as open and honest as we are able to be. And that grows over time as we begin to trust the anonymity and we trust the people in these rooms, that we know that we're not going to hear our story retold to us by somebody else. I think we become more and more open, which just allows us greater recovery. So I'm so grateful for this tool of anonymity and the principles before personalities that we operate on. And with that, I'm going to pass. Thank y'all.
Telephone calls.
Hi, this is Kelly again, compulsive overeater in California.
Hi, Kelly.
Hi. Telephone calls. Compulsive overeating is a disease of isolation. The telephones is a mean of communicating with another compulsive overeater between meetings. It provides an immediate outlet for those hard to handle highs and lows we all experience. The telephone is also our daily link to our sponsors and, as part of the surrender process, is a tool by which we learn to ask for help, reach out, and extend the same help to others. And how we are asked to make at least 4 telephone calls a day, once to our sponsor and 3 more to other OA members. These calls give us an opportunity to talk program on a daily basis. The telephone is our lifeline. So again, Kelly, compulsive overeater in California. And to me, telephone is such an invaluable tool in my program. I definitely use it every day as assigned with the phone calls. Before I came to How, I was a texter. I did not talk on the phone. There's only one space left on my voicemail for someone to leave a message. Because I have messages of my kids when they were little and I haven't erased that. So I was not sure how I would ever find the time in the day to make all these calls. But guess what? When you're desperate and willing to go to any lengths, all of a sudden I was able to make the time. And I come to really appreciate the telephone. There's this line in the Grinch movie where he says for the day he's going to wallow in self-pity and stare into the abyss. And, you know, when I was in the food, that's what my days look like. Me and a fellow were joking about how does it even let you isolate? Like you can't really isolate if you're working a How program, because you have to either pick up the phone or take the call from someone. And it just reminds us how beautifully connected we all are. And, you know, when they say welcome home, when people come to OA, it's so beautiful because you know, we're not alone anymore. So I call my sponsor every day on time at the scheduled time with my assignment. And then I make my hookups, and I've been in HOW for over a year. So my hookup list has really grown. And what I love about the HOW Fellowship is that each call, I always get such a gem from of meeting someone new, sharing our journey together. The tool of telephone allows us to work with others, and that wanted to just read, speaking of working with others, just what the telephone reminds me of. As far as the outreach we get with fellows on a daily basis. So life will take on a new meaning, to watch people recover, to see them help others, to watch loneliness vanish, to see a fellowship grow about you, to have a host of friends. This is an experience you must not miss. We know you will not want to miss it. And that's really what I feel like. So grateful. I always have my phone with me and a charger, because I've actually been left in the beginning of HOW with a dead phone and no one's numbers. So now I have a charger in my car, and a charger at work, and a charger in my purse, you know, just be as prepared as possible. So I love the phone call, and I love that it keeps me connected to you guys. And I'm able to call in from California to Minnesota and be on this meeting with you guys. That's what I have. Thanks. Pass.
Thanks, Kelly.
Thanks, Kelly.
Meetings.
That's me. Let's see. Can you guys hear me? I can't see myself, so it's kind of
a little low.
It's a little low.
Oh.
Just do it off the computer. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
Sure. So meetings. Okay. I had this all. I lost my reading for meetings. Can someone read it? I can't find it.
We got someone.
Hey, reading. Sue, I'll read it.
Sorry.
That's okay. I'm Sheila, compulsive overeater in meetings. Meetings are gatherings of two or more compulsive eaters who come together to share their experience before and after recovery and to share the strength and hope OA has given them. Though there are many kinds of meetings, fellowship is the basis of them all. As HOW members, we attend at least one HOW meeting a week. Meetings are an opportunity for us to identify and confirm our common problem by relating to one another and by sharing the gifts we receive through this program.
Thanks, Sheila.
Thanks, Sheila. Hi, I'm Sue, and I'm a compulsive overeater. And meetings, you know, when I first started going to HOW meetings, when I first started the HOW program, I would hear things there that I wasn't doing. I'm like, oh, you really do like take a straight edge over a tablespoon of oil. I'm like, oh my God, I'm not doing that. I'm going to start doing that. Or I would hear something that I would just keep in the back of my mind. Okay. I don't want to do that because looks like that person's struggling with that. So I'm not going to do that. So I would learn what I wanted to do and what I didn't want to do by coming to meetings. And that's why I think this virtual meeting is so critical versus a phone meeting if we have this tool, because we can see each other's, you can hear it on the phone, and yes, that is great. I mean, if that's what you got, that's what you got. But to see people virtually, you know, people that are struggling, you know, people that are not having a good day. And, you know, it's just really that face-to-face, I just think is so critical. And there are all sorts of meetings, like it says. In Voices of Recovery, there's this little thing. There's something about this fellowship of individuals that have completely changed my life. I think the spirituality of OA comes from the comforting word we. I'm not alone. I used to find my comfort in food, but it was a lonely, sad kind of comfort. Now my comfort is in the fellowship. And it goes on from there. But, you know, of course, we can't just rely on the fellowship. That's why we have all these tools, reading and writing, meetings, telephone calls. And somebody just alluded to this, I think the last the last person who just spoke was talking about this too, is, you can't isolate with being in how. And, you know, with all these tools, I mean, you can't get too far away from anything. You can't get too far away from what it was like, because we do that reading assignment every day. And I can't get too far away from what I want things to be and what I don't want things to be by going to meetings. So that's what I got. Thank you.
Thank you, Sue.
Thank you, Sue.
Literature and writing. We can't hear you.
Here I am. Okay. Am I being heard okay over there?
Yes. Thank you.
Okay. Hi, everybody. I'm a gratefully recovering compulsive overeater again. My name is Revital. Okay. Hi. Good to be here. Okay. Literature and writing. Literature. We study the textbook Alcoholics Anonymous, referred to as the Big Book, and the 12 Steps and 12 Traditions, another AA book, to reinforce our program. By substituting the words food and compulsive eating for the words alcohol and alcoholism, we can identify closely. We also read OA literature, the OA book, Overeaters Anonymous, referred to as the brown, or I guess now the purple book, the OA 12 Steps and 12 Traditions for today for daily meditation, and Lifeline, our recovery. Read on a daily basis, our literature impresses on us certain basic truths that we have found vital to our growth. Our literature and the AA books are an ever available tool that gives us insight into our problem, as well as the strength to deal with it and the very real hope that there is a solution for us. Writing. In addition to our writing, our inventories, and the list of people we have harmed, most of us have found that writing has been an indispensable tool for working the steps. Further, putting our thoughts and feelings down on paper or describing a troubling incident helps us to better understand our actions and reactions in a way that is often not revealed to us by simply thinking or talking about them. In the past, compulsive eating was our most common reaction to life. When we put our difficulties down on paper, it becomes easier to see situations more clearly and perhaps better discern any necessary action. So again, my experience has been just that. When I put my thoughts down on paper, my concerns, my emotions, especially my emotions, in response to life, I often find that what comes out in writing is totally different than what comes up in my head when I face the situation before reflecting on it. And I know that the literature tells me, I think it's the AA 12 and 12. There's a blurb in step four that talks about character defects are the defective application of my natural instincts. I just go there. You know, it's, I don't know if it's a past trauma or just a go-to place, what have you. I just go there. These are old neurosynaptic pathways. I just go there. But when I write things down and I'm able to review them with a trusted fellow and remain open to feedback, experience, strength, hope, oftentimes I find that we end up uncovering both when I'm a receiver and a giver of inventories or written pieces, oftentimes I find that we uncover stuff that I didn't even realize was relevant, was not even aware, was a concern. So it's very interesting when I'm able to employ my writing skills as well as my reading skills. I love the Big Book. To me, it's a textbook for this program. I'm able to sort of lift off of the book and take the messages that I'm hearing, reading in the book, and apply them to life. I wasn't able to do that when I was new in program. In fact, I had no idea what the connection was to my condition. And so the growth there are endless possibilities. I'm never done. I cannot graduate. I'm not able to graduate from reading this book. I have to read it over and over again, because every time we go through it, something pops up that perhaps I forgot or have never realized before. And I appreciate that. Recently, I started an inventory process where the traditional charts and check marks didn't quite get me to a place where I needed to go in working on a fourth step. And this inventory process got me there. And it turns out, again, the problem that I thought I was having in this case, for example, hoarding and clutter, had nothing to do with what looked like hoarding and clutter. It ended up being unresolved grief and bereavement and holding on to the past and my fears of the future. That would never have come up had I not written and shared and allowed the feelings to come up. To me, it just seemed like I have a problem with clutter. I'm a messy thinker and a messy person and what have you. But really, I never would have guessed. And had I just cleaned up the stuff without sort of holding space for it and reading about things and writing about things, I wouldn't have realized that there's a lot of unresolved grief that I need to work, take through the steps. So just really, really grateful, and really grateful to have the opportunity to practice those very same skills with someone else who's working on their inventory, and to be a witness and to share my experience and to sometimes even laugh. It looks like, you know, silly things come out. Thank you. Come out of this, and a lot of pain can be resolved and thoughts recalibrated. Thanks for letting me share tonight.
Thank you.
Thanks for everything. Thanks for everything. So now we're on service.
Service.
Hello, everyone. Nancy D, a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Nancy. Welcome.
Thank you. Hello. Thank you. Service to be, carrying the message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers is the basic purpose of our fellowship and therefore the most fundamental form of service. Any service, no matter how small, that will help reach a fellow sufferer adds to the quality of our own recovery. Putting away chairs, making coffee, talking to newcomers, doing whatever needs to be done in a group or for OA as a whole are ways in which we give back what we have so generously been given. Do what you can when you can. A life of sane and happy usefulness is what we are promised as a result of working the 12 steps. Service fulfills that promise, always to extend the hand and heart of OA to all who share our compulsion. For this, I am responsible. Again, I want to agree with Ribertal. I like how she said that she loves the big book. And I too love the big book. I like how, you know, after being in a program for the length of time that I have, how I'm able to just see the relevance of it all as it was stated, and how I wrote a few notes here, how I'm working with others and the surrender process, and also how I personally through service have done something different and I'm getting a different result. And I appreciate that. Also just the fact of carrying the message of how I get to do that. And that's a wonderful thing for me. And something else someone mentioned about in the big book, how it mentions in working with others, how this is an experience I will not want to miss. And again, how I just read, how it could be as small as just this reading. And that's really not a small feat to come out. It's the middle of winter. Actually, we're almost at the end of winter here in Minnesota. And it's a Tuesday night, cold, snowy, and there's probably other things I could be doing, but I'm glad that I'm here with you all. I've heard so many things that I'm sure are going to help me in my program and carrying the message. I'm glad to be the message tonight. And with that, I pass. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you. Will all people doing service for OA at any level please stand and applaud service? If you have not yet added your information to the chat for our We Care book, please take a moment to do so now so we can add it to the book here in the room. We will keep the We Care book circulating until everyone has had an opportunity to sign it. The folder will continue to circulate for the duration of the meeting so that everyone may take names and phone numbers for their personal contacts. Enter your email in the chat to receive the list. Is there anyone who has not yet signed? The OA How live meeting is a friendly place, and we want to get to know each other. If you are here with us today for the first time in the meeting room, will you please stand and introduce yourself by first name only? If you are attending for the first time virtually,
Hi, my name is Mary, and I'm a compulsive overeater, and I'm glad to be here, and this is the first time I've heard anything about the HOW program. Thank you.
Thank you.
Welcome. Welcome.
If you are attending for the first time virtually, please turn on your video and unmute your line or press star and six on your telephone's keypad. There was a couple. May we please have a treasurer's report?
Hi, I'm Heidi. I'm a compulsive overeater and the treasurer for this meeting. What I wanted to share tonight is our expenses for this last month. For the second month, we're not getting in enough money that cover our monthly expenses. So for this last month, we received $75 online. And I did want to just say thank you to all of those who give through PayPal. And I did, in case you weren't aware, every donation we get through PayPal has a 2.9% fee plus 30 cents for every transaction. So I just wanted you to be aware of that. We've collected $40 in the room. So that's a total of $115 minus the fees at PayPal. And then our rent was $125, and the Zoom and conference line were $19.11. So our expenses were right around $150, and we took in $115. So I wanted that to be a little more information. Thank you.
Thank you. Our seventh tradition helps this meeting provide the equipment, enhance our website, and make it accessible to individuals who are deaf or anyone using ASL. Refine the technology, develop other live OA face-to-face groups, and more. A basket will be passed for those here in the room and those joining virtually. You may go to the mnhowlive.org to donate. The promises. We are going to know a new freedom and a new happiness. We will not regret the past nor wish to shut the door on it. We will comprehend the word serenity and we will know peace. No matter how far down the scale we have gone, we will see how our experience can benefit others. That feeling of uselessness and self-pity will disappear. We will lose interest in selfish things and gain interest in our fellows. Self-seeking will slip away. Our whole attitude and outlook upon life will change. Fear of people and of economic insecurity will leave us. We will intuitively know how to handle situations that used to baffle us. We will suddenly realize that God is doing for us what we could not do for ourselves. Are these extravagant promises?
We think not.
They are being fulfilled among us, sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly. They will always materialize if we work for them. That's from the Big Book, page 83 to 84. Are there any announcements in the room or virtually?
Hi, I'm Sheila, still a compulsive overeater. Just real quick. Oh, hi.
Hi, Sheila.
just wanted to remind you that in the beginning of April, April 3rd to April 5th, is the Buffalo Retreat taking place here in Minnesota. Registrations are like starting to fill up for that. So if that is something that you are interested in, I encourage you to go to overeaters.org and get more information, and you can register right online. And then also wanted to let everyone know that we are celebrating tonight. We have a 1 year anniversary tonight. Yes, yay. And Erlinda is celebrating her 1 year anniversary with us tonight.
All right. Hi, I'm Kate H., a compulsive overeater. And I, here in Minnesota, I typically attend the Sunday night meeting. It's a face-to-face seated one, but it also is actually a phone meeting that people can dial into or listen to after our meeting has been held. And we are... A few months ago, we experienced a location change. Now we have passed, starting the first Sunday in March, we will hold our meeting time at 6 p.m. Minnesota time till 8. And then the first Sunday of the month will have an hour preceding of fellowship. Face-to-face where people can come and gather and bring your dinner and just have some fellowship time an hour prior to the meeting. So I wanted to be sure that we announced that here and we hope to see you.
Thanks, Kate.
Any online announcements? Okay. Literature and books. Newcomer and sponsor materials are located at the virtual intergroups resource page, www.oahowphonemeetings.com. You can purchase OA books and pamphlets at oa.org. Now is time for medallions. At HOW meetings, we recognize the milestones of recovery for those working the HOW program. All other abstinence is given a round of applause. Yoo-hoo! Anyone joining us virtually may also request a medallion by turning on your camera and unmuting your phone. I've never done the medallions before, but that is like, this is the heaviest box full of things to give away. And medallions are a way that we celebrate our abstinence here. Just to give you kind of a little forethought, there is one at the very end that requires no commitment, just a desire to do something different with your food. So for tonight, is there anyone celebrating 8 or 7 years of back-to-back abstinence? 6, 5, 4, 3 years, 2 years, 18 months, 1 year. Congratulations.
Thank you so much, you guys.
Would you like us to send you a 1 year medallion? Yes.
Yes, please. I think she already has my address.
Oh, good. All right. Well, we will get one out to you. Congratulations.
Thank you.
9 months. 6 months. Woohoo! All right.
I'm Liz A. Celebrated 6 months on Saturday.
Hi, Liz. We didn't hear what you said.
Oh, I celebrated 6 months on Saturday.
Yay! Congratulations.
Thanks.
3 months? 2 months. someone in my meeting says, the red hot chili pepper. 1 month, 30 days. All right. So like I said, when I started, there is something for everybody here tonight. And for those that maybe have a desire to have things look different in your life as far as food goes. This isn't a commitment as much as just a desire to make a change and do something different. Is there anyone tonight that would want the 24-hour chip of desire? All right. It does come with a virtual hug. So for those of you that might still be interested in one, they're here for you and you can just reach out to us and we're happy to get one out to you. Step ups. At this point in our meeting, we ask that the group to join us as we celebrate another example of the miracles that about in OA. The stepping up portion of the meeting asks a sponsor to introduce a newcomer who has at least 70 days of back-to-back abstinence, who has completed the first 3 steps of the HOW program, and who is now ready to become a sponsor. At HOW meetings, new sponsors are presented with a cactus plant to signify the tough love of the program. Stick with the stickers, remember to drink your water, and reminder that we don't water down the program. Are there any step-ups? Not tonight. Keep coming back. Anniversaries. Birthdays are celebrated for each year of continuous abstinence. At anniversaries, a candle is lit at the beginning of the meeting. We invite the person who is celebrating an anniversary to come to the front of the room for the anniversary readings. Are there any anniversaries?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yay!
talent holding a flaming torch while I'm trying to look for the correct reading. All right. Erlinda, now comes the biggest question yet. What about the practice of these principles in all our affairs? Can we love the whole pattern of living as eagerly as we do the small segment of it that we discover when we try to help other compulsive eaters achieve sobriety? Can we bring the same spirit of love and tolerance into our sometimes deranged family lives that we bring to our OA How group? Can we have the same kind of confidence and faith in these people who have been infected and sometimes crippled by our own illness that we have in our sponsors? We can actually carry the AA spirit in our daily work. Can we meet our newly recognized responsibilities to the world at large? And can we bring new purpose and devotion to the religion of our choice? Can we find a new joy of living in trying to do something about all these things? Furthermore, how shall we come to terms with seemingly failure or success? How can we now accept and adjust to either without despair or pride? Can we accept poverty, sickness, loneliness, and bereavement with courage and serenity? Can we steadfastly content ourselves with the humbler yet sometimes more durable satisfactions when the brighter, more glittering achievements are denied us? The OA answer to these questions about living is yes. All of these things are possible. We know this because we see monotony, pain, and even calamity turned to good use by those who keep on trying to practice the 12 steps. And if these things are facts of life for the many compulsive eaters who have recovered, they can become the facts of life for many more.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Congratulations. The leader now qualifies for 10 minutes. Yeah. For tonight, I am just in the sake of time, and I really want to be able to celebrate Erlinda and her 1 year anniversary. It's so awesome. That my name is Kate. I'm a compulsive overeater. I am doing service tonight. I was asked to maybe be a new face. There's people here tonight I've never met, and just a great way to stretch myself beyond room and be able to see that I'm definitely not working this alone. I've seen people not only here in the room, but all over the U.S. and probably even outside of our country use this. And that is amazing. So thank you for being here. Thank you for sharing your stories. I had told you earlier that I've been in for a couple of years, which seems like sometimes I'm still growing my wings and learning more about this program, and yet feel the blessing of the ebb and flow of the big book and how, like another sponsor had pitched on tonight, that every time you might read a different chapter or the same pages again, it takes on a new meaning. And for me, I think that's a part of, for me, the humility process of being able to trust and to even admit that I have an eating disorder that got me into trouble for a long time, not only with the food, but with relationships and, you know, my jobs. And now that I keep my food in a cup and I weigh and measure it consistently every day, I'm able to approach those things that actually drove me to the food in the first place, and just really grateful to be peeling back the layers of the onion with lots of other people that understand me. So thank you again for being here, and with that I pass. I would like to introduce Erlinda, who qualifies for 20 minutes.
Hi, everyone. Good evening. Good morning, or wherever you are. Welcome. First of all, I am just so profoundly grateful to be here, to be celebrating 1 year. It's miraculous, and I'm just so, so grateful. Thank you for everybody in the room who week after week provides service. I mean, literally, this meeting has been life-changing for me, so thank you. So my intention tonight is really to inspire some recovery, hope, and strength. So I'm just gonna break it down into like three parts, a little bit of half of my past and kind of where I came from, and then lead into kind of like what the last year has been like for me. So I wanted to start with a little bit of when I was younger. And okay, well, he's gonna show my pictures. So this is actually just for the last year. So you can tell, I guess we'll start right here. So obviously this is only with eating and following the eating plan from my nutritionist. This is nothing to do with exercising. I did it at all. I only took on one thing, which is making sure I was following my eating plan. You can see the results in a little over a year. So that's my results. It's so weird to look at. Wow, this is a little bit more vulnerable than I thought as we're posting this up here. Anyways, so there I am. Okay, so now you guys have seen it all. this is a before picture, and this is a more current picture in August. And as you can tell, I've had like a massive transformation, almost like a brand new person. And why I want to point that out as a brand new person is because this program was a spiritual program for me. Yes, there was the compulsion and the food and all of that to deal with, but I really was looking for a spiritual program to connect me with higher power, with God, to restore my faith again. And you can see there's a whole different person. I am a new person. So who you are seeing today is completely new. Thank you, Howard. So to backtrack a little bit, when I was younger, I'm the oldest of five kids, and I didn't, honestly, I didn't really have an eating problem when I was younger. I was actually kind of the weird one in my family. I didn't eat very much. I was always really, really skinny, except my family members had some compulsion and overeating and coping mechanisms that they dealt with food. So just to give you a little background, my mom had a mental disorder. So when we were younger, she was diagnosed with schizophrenia. And so when you are young and the oldest and you see your mom kind of like fall down in a nervous breakdown, right? Fall apart when things got kind of crazy. She never had the coping mechanisms to deal with life stresses. So some of the things like that would happen, like for example, it could be something little like a breakdown in the toilet and my mom would kind of fall apart. But one thing she always went to was food. We would go to the corner country market. I remember we would get RC Cola, because I think it was like a dollar or something. And we would get Nutty Bars and like other junk food. And that was like the way you relieved stress. And at the time, like I was already skinny, so it didn't matter. I ate whatever I wanted, like not a big deal. But I was learning the habits of what it was like when life stresses were coming, like how you deal with it. Like we would order KFC. And then it was also like, if we were celebrating something, it was, let's go celebrate by eating. And, you know, so it was kind of all around me. And so let's fast forward a little bit. Like, you know, I had some major trauma, you know, when I was younger, but I don't want to get into all that right now. The point is that as I started to get older, when I got to college, I had gained the freshman 15. And, you know, at the time, since I was so skinny, it was like, oh, that's fine. It's okay. You look better. People would say you look more healthy, you know, whatever they would say. Little did I know was that kind of was the start of me gaining weight over time. When I graduated college, I had moved to Los Angeles with my boyfriend. And I think this is where like my problems started developing. You know, if you've ever been to LA or you live in LA, sometimes you can compare yourself to all the women out there. And there's a lot of women who have medical procedures and are like perfect. And I just remember it's like it started eating away at me a little bit. And I remember going to a clothing store and I tried on a pair of pants. And I put this pants on and the thighs of the pants were like really tight. And the around my calves, it was like really loose. And I was like, told myself, why would a designer design pants like this? And all of a sudden, I was like, oh my God, it's not the designer. It's me. I'm gaining weight. Oh my gosh. I'm now big. I started, you know, realizing that I was overweight and that something was not right. And that began my journey of, okay, well, I'm going to do a detox. So I went through this whole like month detox protocol, you know, it was LA. So, you know, they were around all the time. And then it was like, okay, now I'm going to try being a vegetarian. So did a vegetarian for, I don't even remember how long, maybe a year or something. And I started losing my hair. So I was like, well, I'd rather just eat if I, you know, eat. I'm not going to want to lose my hair. So I just tried all these different things. And this little by little, just the weight just kept gaining, you know, and it's like, then I would do like the lemonade cleanse, the master cleanse. That was my favorite. And it just seemed like all of a sudden I was just in this world of obesity that I didn't even really know how to deal with, you know, and all I knew was that if you were stressed out, go get like snacks. Or if you didn't have any money, you scrounge your money and you go buy dollar burgers or whatever food you can get. Like you don't know when you're going to have more food. So just eat. Anyways, so fast forward a little bit. I go through all these little ups and down diets and all these things. And so then I get married. I'm kind of skipping a lot, but the point is I'm now married. And little did I know, I was in an abusive marriage It was financially abusive, mentally and emotionally. And I just kept getting bigger. And now it was getting a little bit more out of control, like, you know, eating two times, like before I got home and then eating again. It was like hiding in the closet. And I remember when I was hiding in the closet eating, I was like, wow, something's really wrong. Now, I didn't know I was in an abusive marriage. There was, I had, I guess, rose-colored glasses on. And, but something was off. And I remember when I first went into OA. And, I remember, like, keeping it a secret. And I didn't tell my husband I was in OA. And I remember a sponsor was like, well, you have to tell your husband. Like, why would you not tell your husband? Like, and that I didn't realize, but I was scared of my husband. And I, after a while, I had a huge epiphany. So I had, I do energy work. So I had this energy session done, and I came home and I felt so connected to God after this energy session that my husband at the time couldn't be in the same room as me. And a couple weeks later, I woke up and I was like, I want a divorce. And so we ended up getting separated. And that's when I kind of fell out of OA. I was only in OA How for just a few months. But I believe OA saved my life in that first little phase because I stopped drinking. And because I stopped drinking for those few months, I was able to see things a lot clearer. And because I was so under so much stress, I couldn't stay in program. I wasn't able to. And I end up separating from my husband and went through, you know, a couple months later. And I was talking to a chiropractor and I had told him some of the things that my ex-husband had done. And he looked me in the face and said, Erlinda, he's an use a blank word, you know, a bad word. And I said to myself, I said out loud, no, he's a good guy. And the moment I said that out loud, I heard the lie I was telling myself. So in that moment, I saw like my whole life flash before me, the whole 11 years that I was with him. I saw all the lying, the cheating, the stealing. Like I saw all of it. And I woke up the next day stuttering. I couldn't think. Oh, I was stuttering really bad. And I called a girlfriend and she kind of told me what to do. And I, you know, packed all the rest of my stuff up, moved it out of my ex-husband's house. Mind you, I'm now stuttering. I don't know what's wrong with me. I happened to be going to a therapist and he says, I'm so sorry. You've been in a severely abusive relationship for the past 11 years. And my brain was stuck. It was like, no, he's a good guy. He's a good guy. And it was like a computer with a little circle trying to process. It was trying to process everything I had done. Everything he had done, everything I had gone through. And a couple days later, I started talking like I was deaf. And I was like terrified because I didn't know if I was gonna ever talk normal again. Or what was happening to my body or my mind. I didn't understand what was going on. And by the grace of God, the girl who helped do some energy work on me with essential oils, she put essential oils on me. She was in Chicago for one day and I was better again. I was talking normal again. I went to the doctor and they told me I had conversion disorder. And what that is a psychological trauma happens so bad that your body can't process it. And some people go blind, some people go deaf, some people get paralyzed. Some people it stays that way. I was just really profoundly grateful that I was able to move through it. So after going through that trauma, I went through a really, really bad depression. I was on medicine. I was having severe panic attacks. I'm very upbeat person. And when you're in a tunnel like that, and all you're doing is eating and isolating in a dark room, watching Netflix, doing nothing else, not getting out of bed for like weeks, for like months, you're in a dark tunnel. And I was in a dark tunnel. And I was somebody who, you know, I've done classes. I know mantras and I meditate and I, you know, have a good faith. And, you know, why was I stuck in this dark and I couldn't see the light? I couldn't see any light. And I decided I need to get back in program. I need to get something okay in my life again. And so I came back to program. And by the grace of God, I called so many people that night. And I remember like, I need a sponsor. I need somebody like, you know, it's like, okay, God, like I need help. And I called somebody and she said she would temporarily sponsor me to test it out. She was very strict. And I was like, oh, I don't know. Like, you know, I don't know. But I was like, I'm doing this. And I got in program. And at first it was about the food because I had gotten so big that it was uncomfortable. I couldn't stand being in my body. I was so isolated on so much medication, pills a day for this anxiety thing. Anytime I thought something would come up, I'd be like, oh my God, I need a pill. The psychologist or whatever she was like, you'll never get off this medicine. And I remember talking to my sponsor and we just took it one day at a time. And I remember like, okay, she wanted to do it at like, I don't know, 5:30 in the morning. I'm not a morning person, never really, like, but I was desperate. I was desperate for not only a physical change because, you know, I had gained so much weight and it was bad, but I was looking for a light at the end of the tunnel, a spiritual connection again, an opening, a love for God again, higher power. And we just took it one day at a time. And when I had gone back to work, I was on a probation at work. I was under so much stress. My hair was falling out. I had such bad acne all over my face. I've never had acne like when I was younger and I never had it. So it was all over my face. I was under so much stress at work, like thinking I'm gonna lose my job. Like I had so much pressure on me. Like I'm gonna be out in the streets. I don't know what's gonna happen. And the bottom line is, we just took it one day at a time. Sometimes, some days it was one meal at a time. And slowly but surely taking the actions, life started to change. So I just want to wrap up with how life's changed. I'm currently not on probation at work. I'm actually succeeding. I went from probation to now managing a senior partner successfully, plus a leader partner successfully. I'm now coaching other assistants. I hosted a vision board party at work, like, so being more of a leader, which is miraculous. I've cleared up my skin, still working on my hair. The other thing is that, I've transformed so many different things. I'm off all my medications since August. So no more depression medicine, no more anxiety medicine. That in and of itself is miraculous. Instead of isolating it, I didn't really stop isolating until October last year. But you know what? It was a start, and I just started calling people and reaching out to people. So I actually have friends now. I actually have gone out, go out. So the point is that, you know, wherever you are, whether you're in, sometimes we are in that space, or sometimes we're in the life is really great space. Either way, you know, this program works if you work it. And I can't recommend enough the hookup calls, because sometimes they can change your life, alter your life for the better, and be miraculous. I've lost weight, but more importantly, I've gained clarity. I've gained friendships. I've gained my connection to God. I have a prayer circle that I pray with every day, except Sundays when we go to church. But like, that was never gonna happen. So, you know, divinity and higher power or whatever it is for you, if you're here, let this be a light that shines in whatever space you're in. And I hope I can make a difference in with that small share. So thank you so much for letting me be a part of this and for letting me share my story. I pass.
Oh, Erlinda, that was beautiful. The floor is now open for 3-minute pitches we are out of time. I want to thank you for allowing me to be your leader for this meeting today. I also want to thank those who participated, especially our speaker, Erlinda, who offered so much of herself. May we please have the reading just for today.
Hi, I'm Sheila, a compulsive overeater. Just for today, I will try to live through this day only and not tackle my whole life problems at once. I can do something for one day that would appall me if I felt I had to keep it up for a lifetime. Just for today, I will be happy. This assumes to be true what Abraham Lincoln said, that most folks are as happy as they make up their minds to be. Just for today, I will adjust myself to what is and not try to adjust everything to my own desires. I will take my luck as it comes and fit myself to it. Just for today, I will try to strengthen my mind. I will study. I will learn something useful. I will not be a mental loafer. I will read something that requires effort, thought, and concentration. Just for today, I will exercise my soul in 3 ways. I will do somebody a good turn and not get found out. If anyone knows of it, it will not count. I will do at least 2 things I don't want to do, just for exercise. I will not show anyone that my feelings are hurt. They may be hurt, but today I will not show it. Just for today, I will be agreeable. I will look as well as I can, dress becomingly, talk low, act courteously, criticize not one bit, not find fault with anything, and not try to improve or regulate anybody except myself. Just for today, I will have a program. I may not follow it exactly, but I will have it. I will save myself from 2 pests, hurry and indecision. Just for today, I will have a quiet half hour all by myself and relax. During this half hour sometime, I will try to get a better perspective of my life. Just for today, I will be unafraid. Especially, I will not be afraid to enjoy what is beautiful and to believe that as I give to the world, so the world will give to me.
Thank you.
For those joining us in person, I would ask that your help in putting away the equipment and bringing this room back to its original setup after we conclude our closing prayer. Thank you for all of your help with this. We would also like to thank our skilled interpreters for helping us to reach even more people who struggle with this disease. Thank you. Closing statement. To those who are still new to the program, we remind you that all that was said here today should safely remain here as we respect and cherish our tradition of anonymity. We also assure you that following the program will get your weight off or on. Abstinence will remove the cravings. Our way of life will remove compulsion in time and give you contentment in all areas of your life. After a moment of meditation, will those who wish to please join in saying the Serenity Prayer? For those attending virtually, please unmute yourselves. Howard, would you like to close this out?
A moment of silence for those still suffering.
God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change,
the
courage to change the things I cannot, and the wisdom to know the difference. I will, not my will.
Work when you work it, give a lot of love
back. When you work it, so work it, you're worth it.
Yay.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Thanks, Erlinda. Good night.
Thanks, everybody.